All right. Hey, Chase, can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yep, we've got you. Well, we are now joined by our race winner, Chase Briscoe, driver of the number 98 for Stewart Haas Racing. Chase, 9 wins, I mean, and a lock into the championship four. How are you feeling right now?
Great. It was definitely a really good night, and just awesome to start, you know, both rounds of the playoffs the way we did, you know, to dominate. And you know, the car we ran tonight was actually the same car we ran at Vegas. So I wish this thing, we could take it to Phoenix, because it's been unbelievable this year. I think it's won 3 races and ran second in the other one. So just hats off to everybody at Stewart Haas to be able to bring the caliber of cars that we brought to the playoffs. Hopefully we can continue this the next 3 weeks, and obviously most importantly at Phoenix.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take some questions here from the media for you. Let's kick things off with Randy Kovacs. Go ahead, Randy. I think you're still muted, Randy. No, we can come back to him. Let's go to Bob Pockus. Go ahead, Bob.
Chase, you were kind of complaining about the car being loose, or just mentioning that it was loose and also had a vibration. Were either of those really that big a deal?
The vibration was really concerning, because it was like right from the get-go, lap one of that run. And it continued to get worse, and it seemed like the last 10 or so laps it kind of mellowed out. But that was a huge concern. I thought for sure we had a loose left rear, and I guess it was just a vibration. And then the freeness didn't necessarily worry me, just because I knew if I maintained the lead, I was going to be all right. But the 19 was definitely able to run with me. It seemed like the first 15 to 20 laps of a run, and I was just worried if we got in a late race situation, kind of like how we did. If I didn't let the guys know how loose I was, then we might not get on the other side of it. And we made the adjustment at the end, and was certainly a lot better.
And I know there are at least some of us in the media who are pretty confident we know what you're doing next year. Are you as confident as we are?
You know, I talked to Tony and everybody at SHR earlier this week, and they said, focus on this week and we'll talk about it. So, you know, I think obviously winning the race is certainly going to help that situation. So going to next week, and anytime you can bring a trophy back, It just helps the cause. So we'll see. Staying hopeful, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thanks. Chase, I wonder if you can kind of give me a sense of perspective. A guy like Ryan Sieg, and he admits they don't have the equipment of most people. And to be able to put together some of these finishes. And I'm curious, you probably had the opportunity to run around him a little bit more this year than in past years. Is there much that you see that's different out of him and that car, or what they're able to do? I know their equipment's gotten better from last year. I know that's a part of it, but I'm just curious from your perspective, if you see anything in particular or your experiences with Ryan out on the track.
Yeah, for me, I was so excited to see Ryan run that good. And, you know, same with any of the underdog guys. And, you know, I'm not great friends with Ryan by any means, but I love the underdog story. And truthfully, it reminds me a lot of myself, just because literally 4 or 5 years ago, I was sleeping on couches and volunteering at race shops, just trying to get an opportunity. And, you know, to see Ryan get the opportunities he's been getting this year to drive faster race cars, you know, he's proven that he can do it if he was in good stuff. And it's cool to see guys like that kind of outperform what their equipment is kind of considered. And it shows how good of a race car driver Ryan is. I think, you know, if he was roles reversed, he could win races. So, you know, absolutely, it's cool to see those guys run good, and it's been fun to race with Ryan all year long and seeing him more up in the front.
And also, Amanda.
And also, you know, looking ahead to what, you know, could happen for next year for you, there's a lot of discussion about whether to move drivers up for 1 year with the old car, this current car, before it goes to the next gen. Obviously, Austin's going to get some races next year, but he'll go full time in 2022 with the next gen car. From a race driver's perspective, is a car a car a car, and that shouldn't be held against a driver? Or is it, do you foresee that being such a significant jump that maybe you would be better off another year in Xfinity?
No, I get both sides of it, but at the same time, to me, the amount of experience you would gain just running 1 year, even of the old car, you know, getting to race against those guys, getting to see their tendencies, get humbled quite a bit and make you go learn more. To me, that experience is invaluable. And, you know, I think regardless of what the car is going to be, I mean, yeah, you're at a deficit already, just from an experience standpoint. But if you wait till the new car, you're going to be at a deficit from just from an experience standpoint. So if you can get that experience the year before, even though it's going to be in a totally different car, I think just the experience of running longer races, getting to learn how those guys race, their tendencies, what they do on restarts, what they do in certain situations. You know, I find myself every time Kyle or Denny or any of those guys come and run the Xfinity series, I learned so much just from being around them. And, you know, if I was able to move up to the Cup Series next year, I feel like I could learn so much, you know, getting to race 36 races against them and a lot longer races. So, you know, I get both sides of it. I get the people that say you probably shouldn't move up if it's going to be a kind of an irrelevant car. But at the same time, I feel like the experience of getting to go and racing against those guys is almost more valuable than just throwing away that, you know, that car for a year.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Randy, are you?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Bob kind of stole. Bob, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, Bob kind of stole a little of my thunder. You had Clint's pit crew. Have you been doing that? Just to, has that been something you guys have been doing? Maybe because of the pandemic situation, or are you kind of getting used to them? Is that a harbinger for next year?
No, we've had Clint's pit crew all year long. The SHR guys. You know, last year we had, I want to say the 10 or maybe in the 14s pit crew, and Cole had the other. So that's just something we do. We've always used them all year long from Daytona One. So they've done a really good job for us. I think literally week in and week out, we've been the best pit crew on pit road. And I can't think of a single time we've lost positions. So yeah, they've been there all year long.
Okay. Well, other thing, you said you were dedicating this race. I couldn't quite tell, a brother-in-law or a friend, who exactly was it that passed away? What?
His name is Brian Egan's. He got diagnosed with cancer 2 months ago. A really close family friend of ours. It's his brother-in-law. My dad went to school with him. I went to school with Brian Egan's son. We graduated together. So a guy from Mitchell, that was just a family friend.
Okay. How do you spell that?
Brian, B-R-I-A-N, yeah. And then Egan's, E-A-G-A-N-S.
Okay. Thank you, Chase.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Chase, two questions for you. One, do you think you'll be in the Cup Series next year?
Honestly, I don't know right now. I think me doing what I did tonight is only going to help my cause. I don't think it's going to hurt it by any means. So if I can keep doing this the remainder of the playoffs, then not that it's going to make their decision easier or harder, but I'm only helping my situation every time I can go win a race. So that's all I'm focused on doing right now.
Has Stuart Haas told you anything about your plans for next year?
No, I've asked him as soon as Clint obviously announced his deal, and they said, we're working on it and we're trying to figure something out. And they said, just focus on, you know, the playoffs, obviously. So I know they said we would circle back next week. So obviously a win will certainly help.
Sure. And then looking ahead to Phoenix, you the championship favorite?
I don't know. There's so many good guys in this series that can win week in and week out. So, we have to do our deal. We just got to go there and focus on the 98, nobody else. But, you know, I would certainly say if Allgaier or one of those guys makes it to Phoenix, he's pretty unbelievable there. So, you know, I think it's up in the air. And whoever the four guys are, they all four deserve to be there. They've been really fast, and anybody can beat anybody on any given day. So we got to go there and do our job.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Mark Garrow. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Mark Garrow, PR. And first, Chase, congratulations. And how do you approach Texas now? I mean, you have all this talk about potentially Cup next year. Do you just – are you playing with house money now? It's all about, you know, making it wins 10 and 11 before you get to Phoenix. What's your mindset going to Texas?
Yeah, same that it's been all year long. Just go there and try to win. I keep saying, you know, every race is an audition to try to go to the next level or just stay in the level that you're at. So, you know, for me, there's still a lot that I can try to do better. There's three races left to still win. So, yeah, I don't think we treat them any different. Obviously, points-wise, we don't have to worry about points anymore, but we're going there with the mentality to win, you know, same way we did tonight, try to lead every lap, and that's kind of the mentality we've had all year long.
And, Chase, what's it been like? You know, you go from a guy who a little over 2 years ago was basically an unknown, and now you're on the verge of potentially – you know, having a Cup ride over, it's only been a very short sort of period of time, a little over 2 years. What's this been like? What kind of ride has this been for you?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. You know, truthfully, every day I still wake up and can't believe that I'm in the position that I'm in. You know, 2015, I was literally sleeping on couches, volunteering at race shops. I was moving back to Indiana. I was over it. I'd been down in North Carolina for almost 3 years, didn't have a single test, a single ride, nothing. I was getting turned down to even go volunteer at race shops, and I was just over it. I didn't think there was anything for me down here. And literally the week I was moving back home is when I got a call from Cunningham Motorsports, and, you know, Briggs Cunningham and Beth Cunningham literally changed my life to give me an opportunity to go run their ARCA car. And, you know, the success that we had the following year in 2016 got me a Ford development deal. And, you know, I was supposed to be at Brad's truck team for 2 years. It gets shut down, kind of throws everything in a spiral. You know, I go and do a part-time deal between Roush and Stuart Haas, and truthfully ran terrible. I was going to, for sure, at least in my opinion, lose my Ford deal at the end of 2018. And I go and win the Roval. And the next week it's like, hey, what can we do to keep him at Stuart Haas? And, you know, my whole entire career has been so close to ending. I don't know how many times. And to be able to have the success that we've had this year is just unbelievable to look back on. And, you know, just to, for me to get a drive for Tony Stewart is unbelievable. You know, when I go back home in Indiana to my hometown, my bedroom still has Tony Stewart stuff everywhere. I was a diehard Tony Stewart fan. I used to literally dress up in a Home Depot uniform and helmet and play my sprint car video game every single day. And now I'm getting to drive for the guy, and I got to win at Indianapolis for the guy and win 8 other races. It's just been unbelievable. And, you know, hopefully I can win the championship.
My last follow up to that is, you know, you've known hunger, you literally and figuratively, as you've tried to chase this, how much does that make you a better driver or a potentially more dangerous driver going for wins in all of this, just the hunger factor? How does it play into what you're doing?
No, I think that's been the biggest thing for my entire career. You know, nothing against these guys that come in and buy rides, but they don't have to win races. They don't have to run good. They can run 10th to 15th every week and they're fine. I have to literally win races to prove my worth, because I don't come with money. So, you know, having that hunger, and, you know, I think a lot of that too helps me keep things in perspective. You know, perfect example, last year I was 12 laps away from locking into the final race, and I get crashed by a lap car. And yeah, I probably could have been mad and upset, but at the end of the day, I'm getting to drive race cars for a living. That's unbelievable. I never thought I would get to do that. So I think it helps me keep things in perspective, but also helps me, you know, be hungry, and that helps in situations like this.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Sterling with KCOU.
Thank you, Marissa. Chase, congratulations on the win tonight and for locking yourself into the championship four at Phoenix. Tonight was your 9th win of the season. That's one win shy of Sam Ard's all-time record for most wins in a season by an Xfinity Series regular. So I've got to ask, 10 wins on the year, can you do it?
Man, I'd like to hope so. You know, the sickening part is I feel like we've given 4 or 5 away where we were, you know, literally 10 or less laps away from winning the race. And, you know, I would throw it away or speed on pit road or something like that. So, you know, that's going to happen. You can't hang your head on those. But, you know, we have 3 opportunities left to go win races, and that's certainly what I want to go do. So it's crazy to be even in the conversation with guys like that, and to be able to win, you know, one race at this level is unbelievable, let alone 9 in the season. So it's been an incredible year. We have 3 races left to try to win, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Thanks, Chase. Congrats once again.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Rob with NASCAR Pole Position. Go ahead, Rob.
Chase, congratulations on win number 9. It must be a dream season for you. We talked a little bit about this last year when I interviewed you at Texas, but you've been kind of known as the people's champion on the world of social media. So when you get these wins, how cool is it to share these experiences with the fans on Reddit and other social media platforms, given this unique year that we're going through?
Yeah, it's super cool. And like you said, this year's literally, that's the only way we can interact with them. So, you know, Reddit's been great to me. I'm on Reddit 24/7. It seems like my wife gets mad because between Reddit and Twitter, I'm always scrolling, and it kind of makes her upset. But, you know, perfect example is when I get on the plane, I'm going to load the race thread that's on Reddit, and I'll literally go through and read every comment that's good or bad. And if they're bad, I'll kind of joke around with them and have fun with it. And then same with the people that congratulate me. So, you know, I've always enjoyed doing that. And truthfully, it goes back to when I was a fan. You know, I would tweet at drivers and stuff, and if they liked it, I was like, man, that's the coolest thing in the world. So I try to be that same way. You know, it's literally hitting a heart on a tweet or whatever, that can make somebody's day. And I love doing that. So I wish that we could have fans here week in and week out, but you know, the social media is the only way we can interact with them right now. And it's fun to get on there and see how it's evolved just even over this year.
And my follow-up question to that is, you know, you've definitely been a man of your faith when it comes to the good and tough times you've been through, not only this year, but as you've mentioned throughout your career, but you know, with the incredible successes and the lows you've had, you know, how much has your faith helped you kind of keep a balanced approach to be the best race car driver you can be?
Yeah, I mean, I think your faith is easy to be good when times are good, obviously. Like, it's easy to be not happy-go-lucky, but it's easy to say, yeah, my faith's great when everything's going good. It's when you have the bad times, I think, when you lean into that. And, you know, for me, the stuff that me and my wife experienced this year, that was the hardest thing I've ever experienced in my life. And to go through the emotions, you know, literally from one day to the other, the lowest of lows to one of the highest of highs, I wouldn't have been able to get through that without my faith. So, you know, I feel like that's one thing that separates me from a lot of people is I try to really show my faith and try to kind of be that light for other people. And, you know, that even goes from my victory celebration. That's kind of my thing that I do every time. And, you know, it blew my mind the amount of people that, you know, had seen our story from the miscarriage and had been led to faith that they might have not been before. You know, perfect example, a couple of weeks ago, somebody on Reddit said they went and got baptized because of that story. So, you know, it's just unbelievable. And if we can just help one person going through something bad, then it's all worth it.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck, Chase, and thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, our next one will be from Luis Torres. Go ahead, Luis.
Thanks, Marissa. I highly appreciate it. So have you ever thought at this deep in the season you'd be – it's already been mentioned about Sam, but have you ever thought in mind you'd be right up there with the legends like Sam and, of course, not terribly far – but getting close to that double-digit win mark guys like Kyle Busch have done in the past?
You know, I knew that we were going to be able to go compete for races this year. You know, that's why I said what I said at the beginning of the year. I truly felt like we could go win 8 races. And, you know, I don't know if I would have thought that we would have won some of the races that we did. You know, I felt like we could go in places like Homestead and stuff like that, but you know, I never would have thought we would have won at the Indianapolis Road Course or, you know, Pocono or places like that, just places that are – or even Bristol, places that are iconic in our sport. So it's definitely been a crazy year. And to be, like I said earlier, just your name even close to those guys is very humbling and super – it's a huge honor. So, yeah, I would love to get into the double-digit marks. But, you know, like I keep saying, regardless, it's been an amazing season. And – you know, whether we win the championship or not, you know, that's not going to define the year that we had. I think we've had a great season, and that doesn't mean we're not going to try to go win the next 3 and win the championship, but it's been an amazing year, and I can't say that enough.
Thank you, and best of luck.
Yep, thank you.
All right, and we'll take our final question for Chase from Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Chase, congrats on the win. Phoenix is a place you've struggled at in the past. So how much of an advantage do you feel like this gives you having 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to prepare this car?
I don't know if it really gives us any advantage. I mean, truthfully, we've been working on the Phoenix car for a while now. So I think if anything, it lets us be a little less stressful the next 2 weeks. And like you said, Phoenix has certainly been a place that's not my best racetrack. It's not one that I necessarily look forward to going to. I wish Homestead was the final race because I feel like that's probably my best track on the schedule. But obviously with the schedule change, it just didn't work out that way. So, you know, I think that's one thing. If we could go win the championship, you know, obviously it's going to take winning the race, I feel like. And for me, just winning at Phoenix would be a huge accomplishment. One of the proudest things I've ever done just because I know how bad I struggled there and really tried to put a lot of work and effort into getting better there. And I feel like I've made progress every time we go. But there's still a lot to go. So hopefully we can kind of close that gap to the 7 and a couple guys like that, and we can go there and run good.
Cool. Thanks, Chase.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Chase. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. Congratulations on another win, and we'll see you at Texas.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All righty, and we'll be joined here momentarily by our race-winning crew chief. So just hang tight, and we will get started.